What's up, everybody? Chris here. I'm an owner and operator, along with my wife, LA, of the LA Edge Web Radio Network. LA can't be here right now for this, but sends her sincerest apologies and wishes you nothing but the best in 2017. I would like to welcome you to this listening experience if you are a new LA Edge Web Radio listener. And if you're a returning listener, I want to give you a very, very special thank you. You guys are the backbone to LA Edge Web Radio. You're the fuel that runs the fire. So we have been working really, really hard behind the scenes trying to make this the best experience possible. Because in time and with your support, what we are hoping is to make LA Edge Web Radio the go-to place for your best podcasting experience. It's a new year, so why not give you the latest lineup of our weekly programming? On Mondays, tune in at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, of course, for the debut of a new paranormal experience. Join host Kevin Malone as he explores and uncovers the realm of the paranormal on his podcast, Transcending the Unknown. This guy knows his stuff, folks, so be sure to tune into this one. Now, on Tuesdays, it's going to get a bit interesting because I'm going to try to silence the critics, or at least wake them up, as I debut my solo open topic podcast, That Podcast with That Guy. So I need your help. I need topics. I need you guys to email me at laedgewebradio@gmail.com and give me any questions, concerns, bitches, complaints, whatever. I am going to take your topics and make that into the theme of the podcast. So your topic will be the theme of a podcast. It's almost like it's your own little podcast with me answering your questions or concerns or whatever. So email me at laedgewebradio@gmail.com and help me get this thing rolling. Wednesdays host the return of our trial-run political show, The Chalk Line of a Nation, but we've changed it up a bit. Mike and Kevin and myself all talked, and we said, you know what? Let's not make this the same old cookie-cutter political talk podcast. We know how those things are, right? So we decided we're going to mix it up a bit. And we're going to add a bit of a more of a humorous twist. We're going to make it fun. We're going to make you laugh instead of being mad or disgruntled or negative. We're going to try to make you laugh about the political scene in the United States. Because, after all, it's ridiculous. Thursdays are for our fellow gamers. Tune into the New Generations of Gaming podcast every Thursday afternoon as my son and myself discuss the topics of video gaming. We will share new beta experiences, rate the games, and share all the latest news. So join Brady and I for this fun and informational podcast. Monday through Thursdays, we have every show going on. Also, keep in mind that our flagship show that started it all for us, She Said, He Said, and our very popular show, Sounds of the Streets, they're still both very, very active in our library of programming, but we're just awaiting their returns. But they will be back, so don't worry. Again, thank you for supporting us by tuning into our network. We really, really do appreciate you guys. This is why we do this. We just want to entertain and give you guys something positive instead of the same old negativity and drama that fills our days. We want to be happy, folks. We need to be happy. So why not tune into a podcast that's going to make you laugh a little bit? It's healthy. Don't forget to keep up with the latest info by visiting our social media outlets on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also download the free Stitcher app and take us with you on your travels. And don't forget, you can catch up on all the archived episodes by visiting our website at laedgewebradio.com. LA Edge Web Radio, it's where it's at. The following program may not be suitable for some listeners. Parental discretion is advised.
Welcome to Transcending the Unknown with your host, Kevin Malone.
Well, good evening, everyone. And welcome to another episode of Transcending the Unknown. I, of course, am your host, Zach Glickman. Well, no, you know who I am. I feel a little under the weather today, so if I sound kind of blasé, it's, that's the reason. But anyway, I had a guest scheduled, and at the last minute, he had to bow out as dealing with an important investigation. So I will reschedule him as soon as possible. But I did reach out to my very first guest, Erica Van Leer, and he agreed to be on the show. He's going to be a few minutes late getting in, but I'll see if I can hold down the fort, as it were, in the meantime. Tonight's topic is going to be the dark side of the paranormal and the potential dangers of investigating the paranormal. Another topic I've meant to talk about for a long time and just never seemed to get around to it is paranormal safety. Because it's not just dangers that one can face from a malevolent entity or something like that. There are true physical dangers involved in this field. It's been probably about 7 years or so ago, there was a lady investigator. I don't remember what state it was in now. I think it was somewhere in the Midwest. And she was investigating, you know, some of these old abandoned buildings, you know. And what happened to her was she breathed in some dust from old raccoon feces, and there were still active parasites within it. And it killed her pretty quick. You know, I don't think she lasted more than a few days. It just took her down. So this is something, you know, we should all be very considerate of when we're doing all this stuff, is that, you know, these old buildings, you know, these old hospitals and hotels and houses and stuff that have been, you know, abandoned and empty for decades, there's all kinds of gnarly stuff that you can run across in there besides spooks. Things that can seriously jack your life up, I mean badly. You know, there are countless kinds of molds that can just play havoc with your respiratory system and your body, and there's several kinds that can even kill you. So something none of the paranormal shows ever seem to talk about, really. I'll give Mr. Bagans credit when I guess for catching some kind of respiratory ailment. He started wearing a respirator, you know, at all their investigations. And he did speak about it, you know, talk about, you know, the need to be safe, you know. Hats off to Mr. Bagans for that, because you should definitely be careful. You should also, any place you're planning on investigating at night, you should go check out in the daytime so that you can see any possible places where in the pitch darkness you might fall and hurt yourself. Or worse, you know, don't investigate by yourself. It's just not smart. You know, and if you do, make sure people know where you're at. I've just been notified that Eric is with us now, so we'll go ahead and buzz him in. How's it going, guy? How's it going, man?
Hello, can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine, brother.
All right.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you. I'm driving right now. I'm trying to land someplace, but you know how these LA drivers are.
Yeah, I'm pretty familiar with them. It's always an experience driving in LA.
Oh, yeah.
Not so much fun most of the time, but I remember one time we were, the family were going to Disneyland, and we got on, I believe we were on Ventura.
Oh, yeah.
And, it came just to a screech and a halt. It was like as far as the eye could see in both directions. It was just nothing but a sea of inert cars. And there was actually people in their bikinis laying on the hood of their cars getting a tan while they're waiting for traffic to get going again.
Wow, this must have been in the 80s.
I'm telling you, man, only in California. I don't think there's probably any place else in the world you would see that but California.
Right.
You know, particularly Los Angeles.
Yeah, that sounds just like Ventura Boulevard with the bikini. Sounds like an 80s thing.
it was in the 80s, yes. But I'm an old fart, so anytime I talk about an experience, you have to, you know, go back at least 50 to, you know, 5,000 years. You know? So how's everything going with you?
This is actually my second podcast in a few days from my car.
Wow. You might be starting a trend, Eric.
Oh, I know. They got to do a TV show.
Yeah. You know, who's like, you know, a secret spy for the CIA on the side, you know?
Well, I was at the VFW Hall in Sun Valley on Friday night.
Uh-huh.
Or Saturday night, I'm sorry, Saturday night. I was at the VFW Hall in Sun Valley. should be landing here in just a second.
Okay.
I'm actually going to go park in front of my mom's car. She's closer than where I live from where I'm at right now geographically.
Well, if you need to step off for a minute or two till you get situated, I can hold down the fort and just pop back in when you're done.
Yeah, you want me to call you in about 10 minutes?
Yeah, sure. You can call back in. No problem.
I'll call in about 10 minutes.
All right, no problem, dude.
All right, thanks.
Well, here I am, all alone again, which means now you got to put up with just me. So hopefully I won't bore you too bad. I'm trying my best to avoid ever having a show where there's no guest, you know, because I probably wouldn't be too thrilled with listening to my own self, you know, for an hour, hour and a half. You know, I used to be a shameless attention whore, and I loved the sound of my own voice, and I loved being the center of attention. But, you know, it's kind of like when you're Madonna, you know? You know, Madonna came out and she was so controversial and outlandish and everything. It's kind of like every time you do something that grabs people's attention, then you're forced to make sure the next thing you do has got to top that. And you just got to keep topping yourself. And, it can get kind of crazy. But, I'll get back into paranormal safety for a little bit here. As I said, I don't recommend you go by yourself. It's just, you know, not just for personal safety, but I think for spiritual as well. Because let's face it, kids, there are things out there that are just not nice. And they may have many intentions towards you, but none of them are good. And some of these things will certainly hurt you if they can, given an opportunity to. It's another reason why I do not provoke. I don't advocate provocation. I never will. And I just think it's bad. Number one, I think it's disrespectful to any good spirit, if you will. But, you know, antagonizing things that you can't see that can do serious harm to you, I don't think that's really wise. Do you? You know, I think most of the provocation I've seen in various paranormal TV shows and, you know, videos on YouTube and documentaries and stuff, such. To me, it just comes across as just, I don't know. I call them the Bagans wannabe contingent. You know, they're just, you know, it looks impressive on video to certain people. You know, and I'm not going to say idiots or anything like that because they're not stupid. It's just, you know, when you don't know much about the paranormal, you certainly don't have any experience with it, especially if what knowledge you do have is based on these TV shows, you know, you're not going to understand, you know, and it's easier to, it's much more easy to fall into things and just, you know, be gullible. And in some cases, you know, get taken advantage of. So it's, I'm trying to remember, there was a case I read about. Again, it's probably been 5-6 years ago or so. And there was these teenagers. I think they were high school age, I'm pretty sure, who had went to this old abandoned building. I believe it was I think it was an old hospital. Not a big one, but a smaller one, but, you know, somewhere in rural America. But, you know, it had quite the reputation for being a bad place and having bad things inside it. But it was also a place where some of the more unsavory elements of the homeless frequented. And I think there was like 2 or 3 kids, all boys. And they were in the place real late at night. This place is pretty secluded, so there's no there's no roads with any kind of major traffic near the place. And they had separated. I think 2 of them were upstairs, and 1 of them went down to, I believe, the basement or the bottom floor or whatever it was. And he was supposed to come up and meet his buddies and didn't. Never showed, so they went looking for him, and they found him dead down in the basement. someone had turned his skull into jello with a blunt object. Now, of course, this wasn't a ghost that did it. You know, this was a fellow human. So, again, you can see there's great potential danger out there. You know, but when Eric gets back on, we're mainly going to deal with spiritual, I guess you'd call it, dangers involved in the investigating the paranormal, living with it, dealing with it. You know, I figure we're going to talk about not just possession, but demonic or malevolent oppression, you know, and attachments. You know, for those who don't know, an attachment is when you go someplace and there's something there and it just attaches itself to you, follows you home, you know, and the problems from this can take on a great number of different symptoms, if you will. I mean, it can be anything from nightmares to physical ailments, physical injuries, you know, the biting, scratching, all that kind of stuff. You know, on top of it, you can also, too, you know, see things. And, you know, some people want to discount the incubus, succubus kind of thing. It sounds kind of silly if you stop thinking about, really, I mean, you know, ghosts that comes in there, you know, demon, whatever it is, that comes and has sex with you in your sleep. You know, it's a pretty wild thought, but that being said, I mean, you know, again, we don't know anything for 100% certain, so, you know, we got to at least consider all the possibilities, you know. And I try to do that when I can. It's, I don't know, for me, I, you know, I've always told people that, you know, anytime somebody tells me, oh, here, I got this video or I got this whatever, and I have this proof, you know, of a ghost or ghosts, whatever. And, I, you know, it doesn't matter who it is, even if it's a very close friend of mine who I absolutely believe, I always put my skeptic hat on. You know, I do it whenever I see something or experience something myself. I question myself, question my own eyes, I question my ears, question my senses. And I think we all need to do that, you know, put on the skeptic hat with everything. You know, skeptic doesn't mean non-believer, it just means, you know, you're not 100% buying into anything. You know, I'm like most people in our field, I believe that, in my heart, I believe that, you know, ghosts for the most part are the spirits of people who are no longer alive. I believe that, you know, but I can't prove it. There is no empirical proof of any kind, you know, because as I've often said, you know, there's no way any piece of videotape, any photograph, any audio recording, you know, or even any reading on some machine is going to absolutely prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that ghosts are real. You know, we know there's something going on. We don't know what it is. We don't know why it is, how it operates. I mean, we basically know nothing, you know, and I think there's a lot of good ideas out there, certainly. There's a lot of theories that have been put forth that seem logical enough, but, you know, does that make them true? No, not necessarily. I've often hoped that, you know, that I would live to see the day when, you know, we would get that absolute proof. But I may not. Okay, well, Eric's back. Let's bring him back in.
Hello, I'm back. I'm still driving, so hopefully you can hear me. I guess there was an accident on one big street. So two lanes was one lane.
Yeah, I've been through that one myself. I was just talking to the folks about the dark side of the paranormal, and about, you know, figured we could get into talking about attachments, oppression, that sort of thing, and how but
I've definitely had oppression and attachment.
Now, is there, I mean, I'm assuming there's no total 100% way you can protect yourself from it, that if it's going to happen, it's going to happen, right?
Right. I mean, you could take protective measures, which we do. And I mean, like I've been saying for years, I mean, you could be at a grocery store or, you know, just out in the public and something can attach to you. But, you know, don't want to scare anyone, but it's a fact.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like I said, the precautions, absolutely. But, I mean, it's, I've never had any major problems in my life. I think maybe once, I think I might have had an attachment, but I won't swear to it. Mm-hmm. It was just, it was a weird occurrence. This was, this goes back probably about 5 years ago. It was maybe about a week after my father had passed away, and I just laid down. I was really, really ill at the time because of physical pain issues. I'd been addicted to opiates for years, and they were starting to shut down my organs and really play hell with my life. But I laid down in bed, and I know I wasn't totally asleep yet because I hadn't been there very long. And I'm just laying on top of the blanket stuff. And next thing I know, it feels like somebody took one of those old wool army blankets that was soaking wet and hot and just threw it over me. And at the same time, something was holding my body down. I could not move. And I heard the scariest damn moan I've ever heard in my life right in my left ear.
Wow.
You know, and this whole time I'm kicking as hard as I can trying to throw whatever this is off me. Finally, after, you know, it seemed like an eternity, but it was probably only a few seconds, it's just like, boom, it was gone. You know, I've never had anything even remotely close to that happen to me before or since.
Right.
You know.
Well, that's a good thing.
And it just, because it was not a good feeling at all, man. There was definitely a residue or something that was left in that room for several days. You know, it just felt dark in there.
Right.
You know, now whether that was anything to do with the paranormal, I don't know, but it was definitely unsettling.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it could have been paranormal or sleep paralysis. It's hard to say sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought of that, you know. Of course, you know, you naturally want to tell yourself, no, I know for a fact I was awake, you know, but no, I can't prove I was, and I certainly can't say with any total certainty that I was, you know.
Well, we
other than that, I mm-hmm.
Yeah, I had some friends though for the Oscars yesterday, and they were there. I mean, it was probably about 7:30, 8 o'clock Pacific time, and we heard a knock in the coming from my bedroom. There's a couple of bedrooms in the place where I live, and we heard a knock coming from where my bedroom is, and then another friend came over, and when it was just me and him, and I saw a shadow in there, and I said, yeah, I think a shadow just went into my bedroom, and he goes, all right, do you mind if I go check it out? So I'm all like, okay, sure. So he goes and checks it out, and he said that he felt like something was, like, looking at him questionably. And that night we went to a meeting for a Satanic Temple LA, and I had a really bad nightmare, which I've been having for a while. I've been having these lucid nightmares, and should have posted this on Facebook because it would have been much more credible. But part of the nightmare was that there was a plane crash. And I was at a restaurant somewhere in the valley, and I saw on the news that a plane had crashed into a home in Riverside. So I don't know if this was something, you know, trying to scare me during my sleep, because it was definitely, you know, a scary experience, or if it was something prophetic. I saw that news brief, it was like, whoa.
That's pretty trippy. I had a recurring dream like that. I was living in Fresno, California. And there was this liquor store that when I was on my way home from drunken debaucheries with friends, I always stopped at this liquor store called the Bottle House. Uh-huh. And I'd go in and I'd buy a Coke on the way home, you know. And I started having this dream, and the dream was always the same. I was pulling into the parking lot of the Bottle House, and as I got on my car and I'm walking up to the entrance to the liquor store, the door opens up, and this really large African-American gentleman comes walking out, and he's holding a gun in his hand. I guess he just robbed the place, you know, the impression uh-huh. I get. And it was like all of a sudden our eyes met. And he lifted the gun up and pointed at me, and I turned to run. And I would always wake up with, right when I heard a gunshot, and there was a blinding pain in the back of my skull.
Oh, wow.
And I had this dream like 5 nights in a row, you know. And I never went back to that place. It shook me up so bad,
right.
You know. I just kept feeling like, no, if I go back to Bottle House, I'm going to get killed. You know,
yeah.
So I never went back.
Uh-huh.
You know, it was just so freakishly weird and surreal that, I don't know, there was just like this person, well, I'm not going to take a chance on that being prophetic, you know, it's just not worth it to
right.
me. You know, I'll go
right.
get my soda someplace else.
Right.
But,
is it something evil trying to scare you? Because for me, I've been having these really, really bad, lucid dreams where I wake up several times a night, or is it something actually positive that's trying to warn you?
Yeah, that's the paradox of it, I guess.
Uh-huh.
You know, you don't know which way to lean.
Right.
You know, because it could be either.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, like we're talking about, like with oppression and attachments. I mean, well, some of the ways a person could go about to at least take extra precautions to protect themselves.
I'm sorry, what is that?
What would be some things that people could do if they wanted to at least, you know, take some safety precautions when dealing with it so they don't have an attachment or, you know, oppression or something?
Well, I personally wear a couple of bracelets blessed by the Capuchin monks in Italy. I wear the Enochian Watchtower of the East. I came from Salem, Massachusetts. And I wear the Eye of Horus, which I'm kind of comfortable with, having been in OTO, Ordo Templi Orientis.
Mm-hmm.
But I recently was told by a couple people, I don't know if I agree with it. I'm still trying to digest the information. They told me, and well, this part I believe, they said it's the intent that you put in to the protection that you wear. That part I believe. But they also said that you shouldn't wear protection on investigations because the energy can attach to them. See how there might be a valid argument for that. I don't know 100% how I feel about it right now. But you could definitely protect yourself, you know, without wearing any kind of protective ornaments, if you will, you know, bracelets, necklaces, or whatever. I mean, before I even knew about all this kind of stuff, the thing that I was told is that the main places you want to protect are the bottom of your feet and the top of your head. I mean, the bottom of your feet is common sense. You don't want to be walking around in an abandoned building barefoot. But
sure, sure.
They say they used to tell me that you just imagine a large zipper and you zip it up from the bottom of your feet to the top of your head to kind of put yourself into a cocoon, a symbolic cocoon, and then you surround yourself with the white light.
Yeah, no, that's what I've heard. probably one of the most common ones I've heard is the
right.
surrounding
the
yourself with the white
thing,
light.
Yeah, the zipper thing I was told, you know, a very long time ago. as far as the bracelet and necklaces that I wear, I mean, I feel that there is some validity to them. I mean, I am involved with some people that consider darker stuff, OTO and TST, which actually doesn't believe in the biblical Satan. But I also do believe in a higher power. I believe that there has to be a polarity. And I definitely call on my higher power whenever the need comes. And what myself and most honor, or who myself and most of my teammates call upon when we do investigations is St. Michael.
Uh-huh.
So yeah. I'll basically just say, you know, I'll say a little something. It varies. I mean, I'm not going to give the whole thing away. There's a extra admission for that. But I basically say, you know, St. Michael with your, you know, your flaming sword, banish these evil demons to hell, or banish these, you know, evil entities to hell, or, you know, protect us with your flaming sword, something like that.
Right. Yeah, I've heard that one. I mean, I've, you know, I've heard the gamut of stuff. I mean, you know, I guess it all depends on who you talk to. But then again, you know, if what you're saying is true, you know, that it may have a lot to do with what you put into it as opposed to the object itself. You know, so certainly, you know, certainly doing anything that's creating positive energy is going to be a good thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I've got a situation where I live now, right behind my home, is a little two-bedroom apartment. It's a little cinder block building. Uh-huh. And my original intention with the place was to fix it up and turn it into a place where, if you know, friends or family came to stay for a few days, they'd have their own little place. Uh-huh. But the house was occupied by a tweaker for uh-huh. many years, and it wasn't until I really got inside the place and started really scoping it out I realized that, man, I ain't never going to have the money it's going to take to fix this place, man. It's bad, you know. But it's like the minute you go in there, I got a cousin who went in there, and he's a total non-believer in the paranormal, absolutely does not believe in it. And I didn't say nothing to him. He just went in there to look and see what it'd take to get the electricity up and running in it. And he goes, man, he goes, I don't like that place. And I go, yeah, it's pretty rotten, you know. He goes, no, man, he goes, there's something bad in that house. Because it just, I don't feel good in there. And I hadn't said nothing to him. I don't feel good in there. I don't get any feeling at all that there's any type of entity or anything. It's just like, you're just bad juju.
Right.
You know, I just figure, you know, God knows what all tweakers get into. You know, they're pretty twisted bunch as it is. So, you know, maybe they did stuff to just put some kind of bad energy in that place, man. You just feel oppressed when you go in there. It's just like, dull, I mean, just negative, dark. You know, it's not threatening.
Uh-huh.
It's just a creepy feeling, you know. And I don't know how to clear it out, if there's any way I can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, living people definitely can give off negative energy also. You know, whether directly or residue. I mean, this other podcast I was on, we were talking about psychic vampires. Which is a little bit different, but I've been dealing with one myself recently. I gave this person a lot of opportunities, and I feel like they kind of disrespected me, so they've definitely been draining my energy, you know, hence I feel they're a psychic vampire. But any place where there's been any kind of drug abuse or anything like that, it's going to definitely leave an imprint.
Yeah, I would think so, especially, you know, what I'd call your darker drugs.
Oh.
You know, those kind of things that just, you know, I'm really one of those people, I believe that certain drugs like meth, heroin, any addiction to opiates, the stuff just steals your soul.
Yeah.
Just, you just turn into like a walker, You know, you're only human by appearance.
Right.
You know, I've had with meth. I've seen it take down good friends in the past. It's taken down a family member of mine. You know, I have a severe hatred of methamphetamine and tweakers.
Right.
You know, and I tend to have a lot more compassion and understanding for heroin addicts than I used to, because, you know, even if you're taking opiates by doctor's orders, when you have to go through withdrawals, you gain a real good understanding of why junkies will do anything to get a fix. You know, it's that, you know, but yeah, you're right. I mean, that, the idea of heavy drug abuse and stuff, I certainly can see where that would, you know, flood a house with negative energy, you know,
well, that's what,
'cause it's such a negative thing.
Yeah, that's what happened to me a few years ago in Amsterdam, and my mom, who was on the trip with me, actually used that term. She said that for months, I literally looked like the living dead.
Yeah.
I was just completely out of it. I was getting nauseous all the time. I was paranoid to the point where we'd be having dinner and I would just start banging my head with my fist to try to get the thoughts out of my head, which of course did absolutely nothing. But I mean, I was in a different, dimension or something. I had no idea. I mean, I was cognizant of my surroundings, but it was like I was having an out-of-body experience 24/7, and I know how, you know, negative I felt. So I'm sure that when there is consistent activity like that, it's going to leave some kind of imprint.
Yeah, it have to. You know, I mean, I'm definitely a firm believer in residual.
Mm-hmm.
You know. In fact, I tend to think that a lot of what people are taking is, I don't like even using the term residual haunting, because I don't really see the residual as being a haunting, not in a traditional sense, you know. But why is it any surprise to people that all these battlefields are haunted? Why is it any surprise to people that, I mean, you'd be hard pressed to find a hospital anywhere in this country that doesn't have activity. Same thing with convalescent homes. Same thing. I've worked in them myself. My first wife was a nurse, so I've got plenty of experience with these places. They've all got their stories. And, you know, any place I think where people die, you know, in numbers, I mean, there's got to be something left behind. You know, somebody who's decided, okay, I think I'll hang out here.
Well, I heard you when I was on the line earlier. And I don't condone this, and I know you don't either, because I heard you talking about it, but I was I believe it's in Florence, Italy. I was at Banti Sanatorio, the Banti Sanatorium, and I was there alone, which I don't recommend anybody do. And it was about 4 or 5 o'clock. It was starting to get a little bit dark. It was pretty windy. This is up in the hills just outside of out of Florence. There were no trespassing signs up, and there was some gates up, but there were some areas to go in. And, you know, I don't condone trespassing. In Europe, it's a little bit different. They're more concerned with, you know, vandalizing or stealing. All I wanted to do was take photos, which, you know, isn't an excuse. But, I mean, I was in a foreign country. And, you know, not to justify it, but I just, you know, I've been doing this a long time. My intent was good, but I went there and I started hearing footsteps, and I thought it was, I was going up the second floor stairs, right off the main area, I guess, was the reception, a couple of rooms and stuff, but I started hearing footsteps, so I went to hide, and, I don't know if it was security or what, and they say that there's, like, refugees and stuff that are in these abandoned buildings in Europe. So I was afraid to go up also, because I didn't know if there was, like, homeless up there or anything. And I just had I just had my phone light and a night vision camera. And, I mean, even though there was some daylight left, it was pitch black in that place. And so I walked up the stairs, and there was nothing on the second floor. I walked down. There was no security or anything. And I just felt this overwhelming feeling of negativity. And I just felt like something, I mean, I hate to say this, a lot of naysayers, but I felt like something was, you know, trying, that something didn't want me there. It was trying to come after me or, you know, cause me harm or get me out of there. And, I mean, it was an incredible tutorial on Google. I mean, this place is huge. It's an urban explorer's dream. And, I mean, I
I'm looking at it now.
I had to cut the exploration to, like, 10 minutes because I did not know what was happening. But that was a sanatorium, and it was definitely very negative.
Yeah, I'm looking at an outside shot of the building.
It's huge,
it doesn't
right?
exactly look like Happy Acres. You know. You know. Not a place. Come on, bring the kids. We got donuts and hamburgers, you know.
it's a very intimidating place.
I'd say a place I've always wanted to go is Lepp.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Lepp Castle's just always. Which one?
The brewery in St. Louis?
No, not Lepp. Lepp in Ireland's castle.
Okay, yeah, right.
Yeah, I've always wanted to go there. I've always wanted to go to Greyfriars in Edinburgh. Mm-hmm. And there's that. I don't know. I'm getting early senility now. I'm only 56, but I'm going senile. There's a famous cemetery in England. Goes back to through the 1800s. Got gorgeous sculptures, but I can't for the life of me remember the name of it now.
Oh.
It's probably one of the most famous haunted cemeteries in England. But
yeah, I think I know what
you're
talking about.
Yeah, there's always just certain places, you know, like here where I live now. My fiance and I'll be out driving somewhere, going someplace, and we'll just drive past a house, you know, and we'll just look at this house. It's like you feel drawn there, like there's something there saying, "Hey, come on in," you know.
Right.
And you know, I've often felt that for places, but I tend to be one to, as a general rule, I tend to avoid any place that has at least fairly reputable reputation for having, you know. I guess, you know, for want of a better word, demonic activity. Kevin,
right.
Don't go. You know? You know, I just don't go.
Rob Hernandez from PCH Paranormal, I believe it was at Greyfriars Cemetery. He was there with a friend, and it started snowing just around him.
And that's freaky.
Yeah, he had some crazy experiences there. It was just snowing around Rock, not nowhere else.
Wow. That's pretty bizarre.
Well, that happened to me. This a day after they did the cleansing, the day after they did the cleansing at the Garden Grove house where we encountered the demon Lilith, I was at a old restaurant in San Juan Capistrano, and even though, you know, it was probably 30 miles away from the Garden Grove house, on the spirit box, I was getting a lot of stuff related to Lilith. It was saying, like, this is my house, old lady, grandma. It was saying, where's my baby? Of course, a lot of people probably know that Lilith was known as the baby stealer and killer. She used to steal babies and then kill them. So we were getting, where's my baby? And something actually tried to attack me. Now, it was raining that day, but when we left, it wasn't raining. It was probably about 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. It had stopped raining. But we were in the parking lot, in the back parking lot of this restaurant, and it started raining just on me. Wherever I would walk, it would rain on me, nobody else.
Wow. I know for... I know you use the, is it the SB7 you use?
Oh,
spirit box?
Yeah, we use that. The ones I use the most, I've had an old Hack Shack for many years that I've had a lot of success with. It could be because there's so much energy attached to it already. I know a lot of people are skeptical about the old hack shacks. For me, it works great. I've gotten a lot of intelligent responses. And I also use the Sono X10 Pro and sometimes the Echovox. I don't remember if it was the hack shack we were using or the Sono X10 Pro, but we were at the Suicide Bridge in Pasadena where activity has picked up a lot. They cleared out the forest underneath the bridge and started building homes. And there's also been more rituals done in that area. So I was there with someone, and that night we actually found a ritual bone. We weren't sure what it was, but it was a bone with blood on it. We actually had to call the police. The police said that they did think it was used for a ritual. But we were getting all kinds of responses that I've never gotten there before, because it's usually, you know, people that are depressed about jumping, or they feel guilty, you know, towards their family. They were, you know, fathers, husbands, sons, daughters, wives, you know, then they commit suicide and they have a lot of guilt still for the family they leave behind. So it's usually stuff like that we encounter. But when we were there just a couple weeks ago, we were getting all kinds of stuff. It was like saying, we got like something that said, I'm going to kill you, Eric. And it said, Hail Satan. And then it was either on the Sono X10 Pro or the Hack Shack, but it was kind of a funny response. It said, Eric, Eric, Air Force.
Well, it's nice to know some of them have a sense of humor, you know. I've been experimenting with the SB7 lately. I haven't used it a lot yet. I haven't had any results from it, but, you know, in time we'll see. As I think I've told you, I watch every paranormal show that comes on TV. I watch them all.
Right.
You know? And there's a new one. What's it called? It's Paranormal Lockdown with Mick Groff and one of the ladies from Paranormal State.
Katrina Weidman.
Yeah, Katrina. There you go. And I've seen on several of the episodes, I've seen him using something called a GeoBox.
That's one.
There's also. Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, then there's a. Go ahead, dude.
No, that's one of Steve Hoff's inventions.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, no, it's yeah, Hoff is he calls his the Wonder Box. Some people have called it the Portal, but there's another guy who makes something similar to that. And I think the Geo Box came out first, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, I thought
from what I can see, yeah, you know, Huff's never really shown exactly everything that's going into this box, and of course, you know, I always keep my skeptic hat on. But if this guy's legit, if this machine really does what he claims it does, he's probably churned out some of the most amazing paranormal possibilities I've ever seen. Well, one of the questions I had with it was one of the videos I saw, this was with Huff Paranormal, was that he was showing where he uses a couple of guitar effects in the box, and he's claiming that cleans up the vocals. I think I saw a noise gate at one point. But what I started really questioning was he had all these different phone apps that he would plug into it too. Or like one, he said what it did was it gave the spirits choices in what voice they wanted to use, if they wanted to sound like an old man or a young man or a little, you know. And I just thought, well, if they can already come through the spirit box and speak in their own voice, why do they need something where they can be a little girl if they want to? That didn't,
right?
You know, and there's always this heavy reverb in these things. It's like,
yes. Sounds like an invitation to demons, because a lot of times, as we know, demons already talk in kids' voices.
Yeah, that's been a long-held belief. Well, I mean, because, you know, even people who are religious, like, well, no, loving God's going to let a child be lost, and, you know. So, yeah, I mean, we've always had that. I just don't see why you'd want to do that. To me, it smacks of sensationalism. You know, if you put a heavy... Well, if you put a delay or a heavy reverb on the voices that come through it, it gives them that spooky, echoey sound, you know. It doesn't help you hear what's said any better.
Right.
You know?
Well, I thought the GeoVox was Huff. I might be wrong. I know that I believe that that show is using some of Huff's equipment, but he has there's either people that love the guy or absolutely hate him.
Yeah, he doesn't seem to have too many people on the fence. So, you know, he does come under pretty heavy attack.
Right.
You know, but you know, I still watch him.
Yeah, I'm not in that whole spirit box community, so I'm not up on exactly who makes what.
That makes me want to play with one, or at least let me take one apart. I don't want to see its guts. You know, I want to see what all's going on in there. You know, but
right.
I still watch most of the videos that come out because, you know, I still have to keep telling myself, well, hey, the guy could be legit. If he is, his stuff's amazing, you know.
Right. Well,
but,
one of our investigators does use, I'm pretty sure it's made by him. It's called the GB1, and we've gotten some really good responses with that. But now Rob from PCH Paranormal is making all his own equipment. He's been hacking all the different radios.
Yeah, I wish I had the smarts to build some of my own stuff, you know. I'm just I'm an old audiophile, so if it's old school stereo equipment or guitar amps and stuff like that, I can get somewhere. But
right.
You know, I'm still so computer ignorant; it's not even funny, you know.
Well, no one.
But I mean, you know,
no one really does dry EVPs anymore.
Doesn't seem like it, do they?
No.
But I mean, you know, I watch a lot of the stuff that's out there, and, you know, I see all the REM pods and the GeoBot, you know, just there's so much stuff out there that, I mean, to me, I think it at some point it becomes like, you know, watching Finding Bigfoot, you know, there's a bunch of boneheads out tramping around in the woods with all these trail cams and beating on trees and stuff, and, you know, no wonder they never get nothing. And
right.
I think, you know, to have a real big group is not a good idea.
Right.
You know, I think the smaller group you got, the better, you know.
Well, that's why I have been doing many public investigations lately. I used to, well, as you know, I used to have public investigations all the time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Been doing that much. I mean, I had my birthday at a haunted restaurant, and we did an investigation. But, I mean, there were people coming that I didn't even know, you know. They were plopping in, and, I mean, it didn't turn out too bad. The area we were investigating, there's probably only about 7 or 8 people at a time, but there was, like, over 30 people there. But, yeah, definitely for some of the smaller locations, I mean, we had my launch party for Golden State Haunts, and thankfully that was at Hotel California. And we were able to investigate Cafe Hidalgo and Hotel California. So people were able to be spread out. But there were times where we broke into groups, and there'd be like 10 to 12 people in one group, you know, in a hallway. And it wasn't really – I mean, we did get some stuff, but it wasn't really conducive to conducting a thorough investigation.
Yeah, it seems to me it's like after so many people, it just gets in the way.
Yeah.
You know, I saw one on with Bagans and crew where they were showing some clips from when they did one of these get-togethers at Bobby Mackey's, you know, down in the cellar. And, you know, they had like, there must have been 30 people down there. So they said they were getting some stuff. That's another place Kevin will not be going. I just, there's just something about Bobby Mackey's just tells me, hell no, you ain't going there. You know? Yes, kids, when it comes to dealings with the devil and the horned one, Kevin's a big sissy boy. Okay. You know,
how about the basement
that's why I don't go
of
to...
the Fally House?
In which one?
The basement of the Fally House in Atchison, Kansas.
The Sally House, huh?
Yeah,
you know,
the basement
dude,
there.
Yeah, I'd go there. Only because, you know, my skeptic hat remains more firmly lodged on top of my head with that place. Although I do believe there's right. there's definitely bad things going on in the place. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I'm not going to go to Bobby Mackey's, and you know, there's a few other places that are just so damn dark. You know,
go where I went last year.
I would give anything to go to. You went to Favelia?
Yeah, I investigated it. It was just me and a skipper, but I was pretty much there by myself most of the time.
Yeah, that place is definitely dark as hell, but it's one of those places, even though it's dark and supposed to have evil there, I feel drawn to it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, yeah, Pavelia's a place I knew about for years before Zach went there.
Right.
You know, I read about Pavelia, you know, I was like, well, yeah, that's, you know, it's just such intense activity, or seems to be, that, yeah, that's a place I definitely want to go.
Well, we captured the plague doctor there.
Did you?
Yeah, we got the plague doctor on camera.
That's wicked cool, dude. That is wicked cool. Yeah, well, I mean, you know, look at the whole history of that island, man. I mean, there wasn't never happy fun times there, you know.
Right. Well, before they even began bringing people there for the plague, and then the hospital was built after that, before that, just the island itself, some Venetians literally thought that island was hell.
Yeah, it seems like it's always had a dark history to it. I mean, there's never been anything positive there from what I can understand.
Yeah.
You know. And again, when you consider what all's went on there over the years, I mean, you know, you had your Plague Island, and then you have, you know, we start keeping all the crazies and stuff, and just, you know, it's just negative on top of negative on top of negative.
Uh-huh.
You know, it'd be like going to, I would assume, a lot of your asylums, you know, like Trans-Allegheny, or some of these places, you know, I mean, yeah, there's a lot of darkness there, and there's a lot of bad activity and a lot of abuse, and, you know, and granted, not every spirit's bad, and, you know, but, yeah, there, I mean, there's just definitely a lot of bad juju in those places. It just, you know, it's almost like it just seeps out of the stones, you know.
Well, one place that I always wanted to go to, one of my all-time favorite horror films was actually filmed there. Session 9 is...
Oh, I remember Session 9, yeah.
Yeah, great movie. It was one of David Caruso's first projects. That was filmed at Danvers State Mental Hospital in Danvers, Massachusetts. I believe it's been torn down. But that is a crazy place, and parents used to tell their kids if they were bad, I mean, this is the legend at least, that if they were bad, the parents were going to bring their kids to the witch's castle, which is what they called Danvers. The parents called it that for their kids.
Yeah. Like threats of the boogeyman.
Yeah.
You know, but some of these places can be quite real.
Yep.
You know, and like my mother here some years ago, she went to England. She also went to Scotland.
Uh-huh.
And I can't remember which castle she went to, but it's an old castle that's been turned into a hotel. And, of course, it's supposed to be haunted. And my mother, again, is, you know, very devout Christian woman, does not believe in ghosts whatsoever. But even she said that the minute you walk into that place, she goes, you just feel the depression. You know, it's just a sad, dark feeling place. You
right.
know, and I totally believe that. You know, some of it might just be mainly residual. You know, but we're creatures of energy. You know, so why shouldn't we be able to pick up on, you know, on energy from the past?
Yeah.
You know, but there's a lot of dark places out there that interest me, but there's only a handful of ones I have no desire to go to. You know, I have no desire to go to the Amityville house. Not because I'm afraid of anything there, it's because I know there isn't anything there and I don't want to go. You know? You know?
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure it's a lovely home.
Right. Well, I mean,
you you know.
There's places. It's kind of a catch 21 because once I'm on the spot, I don't know. Like in Europe, nothing was really stopping me from going anywhere. You know, I was there. You know, do it. If it's, you know, like Mikey says. There's some places I wouldn't investigate alone, probably. I mean, I don't know if there's any place I wouldn't investigate as long as there's other people with me. But, I mean, I had to go to Pavilion. Like I said, you know, probably 70-80% of the time the skipper was with the boat. And then, I mean, when I was at Orfano Trofeo Bufalata, which is outside of Rome, an abandoned orphanage, I went there by myself. I wound up running into someone, but, you know, my intention was I'm here. I want to go there. There's no one else with me. I'm halfway around the world. I'm going to do it anyways, you know. And same with Ospedale Amari in Lido, Italy. I went to Goussonville, Vupé, which is an abandoned ghost town outside of Charles de Gaulle. It's kind of like Surfridge near LAX. When they built the airport, there was too much noise, so they abandoned it. But there was also a Russian plane during an air show that crashed, and I think it killed, they say, anywhere from 8 to 13 people. And the cops and hotel desk clerks and everyone told me, you don't want to go there. You know, there's bad elements there. It's not safe. I mean, my view is, you know, I might sound kind of hypocritical, someone that's, you know, been in OTO and all of that stuff, but I do believe in a higher power, and if something's going to happen, it's going to happen.
Oh, absolutely. If it's your time to go, you're going to go.
Yeah, so,
you know,
I was there, I did it, and, I mean, nothing happened. I mean, there were people there. You know, I just acted like I belonged, and they showed me respect, and I did what I had to do. You know, places that have these certain stigmas or histories, you know, I would probably be a little bit anxious to do Bobby Mackey's or like the basement at Sally House by myself.
Yeah, definitely not by myself. Absolutely not. You know, that's all I've ever done. I've only been out with a group twice.
Right.
In the whole, all the years I've been doing this. You know, actually when younger, I mean, I didn't know there were groups. I had no idea, you know.
Yeah, let me just say one thing. Listeners, you do not want to investigate by yourself. Me and Kevin have a lot of experience. We know how to protect ourselves, which isn't
absolutely
an excuse, but I know that on my end, I definitely don't condone that, you know, which again might seem hypocritical, but, you know, I take the risks that I take. Doesn't mean I'm not going to tell someone else that it's worth it or to do it.
Well, I mean, every time I've ever went out by myself, I mean, it's absolutely unwise. It just is. You know, I just did it. For me, it was mainly out of necessity. I couldn't find anybody that would want to go to these places with me. Oh, that's stupid. We don't believe in that. That's silly. No, you're afraid. That's why you won't go, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know. But, yeah, I mean, I think my days of going out alone are long past. But, you know, I've got my fiance Laura now, and we seem to do really well together. You know, and I think it's as we get more used to working with each other, I think it's going to get better and better. You know, that empath thing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to go someplace like Lopez Canyon, the Gravity Hill out here in Fillmore, you know, where the old cemetery is, or Black Star Canyon, which is in the middle of nowhere by myself. I mean, it's creepy.
Yeah, that was. Yeah, I've been out there, man.
You know, you don't have to, it's not just the paranormal you have to worry about, it's the mountain lions. You know, it's creepy enough with two or three other people.
Oh, yeah, dude, it's like going way up into Topanga Canyon.
Yeah.
There's some creepy-ass places up there in the canyon.
Yeah.
You know, I got to admit, though, I'm kind of intrigued by the Omen House.
I've been there, yeah. I've been there a few times.
I mean, Barry Taft, to this day, still swears he will never go back. You know, it made him so ill, and I start, you know.
David claims that back, one go back unless Barry goes.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you get readings like that. I mean, those insane fluctuations, you know, that's just bizarre as hell. You know,
yeah.
And then, you know, you start listening to Taft talk about the experiences that he and the other investigators had in the house, you know, things that they saw and experienced was just, you know, yeah, that would be a cool place to go. He said he told Omen, you know, after he told Omen, you know, I can't never go back because it's, you know, I'm afraid it's going to kill me. But he told Omen, he goes, whatever you do, don't let none of these TV shows. Don't let them come into your house because it's gonna damage your validity. He goes, you've got what could potentially be the greatest paranormal case in the world. You know, at least from a scientist's standpoint. You know, but yeah, I wouldn't mind going there.
TV shows there. Yeah, there's definitely been TV shows there.
Well, I know Ghost Adventures, and I believe and Taps was there too.
Uh-huh.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, Taps was there too. So I know those two shows have been there.
I mean, I've been there several times, and I've had experiences, but I have to admit I've never had anything negative happen there. I mean, we've gotten some pretty cool responses. We were in the earthen room, and Abigail Folger, the Folger heiress, was one of the people that was murdered, and we actually got a EVP. Someone said, I don't know if it was myself or someone else, but they said, what is your name? And it goes, Abigail. So
it's a fascinating place. I mean, for sure. You know, and there definitely seems to be some major activity going on there. I haven't really heard of anybody getting like really physically attacked any bad like that. I think it was just for Tap, whatever these energy fluctuations were, whatever was causing them was making him physically ill.
Well, that could
have
been something, you know, I don't know his medical background, but I mean, I know that there are definitely high EMFs there, and I mean, that could affect certain
people. Yeah, that's what he was thinking, because it was just, like I said, it was, you know, it was so extreme, the amounts, you know, of energy that was there. And, you know, we all know those things can, you know, high EMFs can definitely affect you negatively. Not everybody, but some people, you know.
I mean, I've had my energy drained there, but that's about it.
Yeah, but I'm, you know, I've had that happen too. I don't really necessarily see that as anything bad for the most part, you know,
right.
Or at least it doesn't always have to be bad, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
I'll be honest with you, I'm parked in front of my mom's house, because, like, I get here than to where I am, and her house freaks me out, and this, you know, this was the house I grew up in. I don't know if it was all the stuff that I brought here. She's never experienced anything, thank God, because I'd feel guilty, especially if it was stuff that I brought here. But I think whatever I brought in here, or, I don't know. It's kind of weird. I mean, I'll go on record. I think my mom's house is way more haunted than David's house. I mean, we've gotten crazy Class A EVPs here. I was here with a friend once. And we were sitting in the kitchen table or the dining room table, and I looked in the hallway, and it's actually on my audio. I think it's on my SoundCloud page. I saw like a figure or a flash of light in the hallway, and I said, "Oh my God, did you see that?" And we caught on the audio. Like 2 seconds later, we caught on audio running, which sounded like it was coming from the hallway direction. And it was we were the only two people there that night, and then. By the side of the house, we got like old 40s or 50s music. Like when I used to go to take out the trash for my mom, when I lived at my mom's house, he used to creep the hell out of me. And I was there with a friend, and for about 20 seconds, literally, it must have swept 15 to 20 stations. We were getting 40s or 50s music. At the same dining room table, we also got a male's voice saying, "There's that woman I killed." And my mom is the second owner. No one has ever been killed in the house or even died. But we got an EVP class A that there's that woman I killed. So there's wow. definitely crazy stuff in my mom's house. And then, I mean, we had one night that was just unbelievable. It might sound crazy, but we were seeing something that we thought was alien, garden room. It's insane. When no one's there, it still kind of creeps me out just to stop by and turn on all the lights. my mom has heard footsteps, and people who have visited the house have heard footsteps, but that's about it. But I've experienced some crazy stuff, and when we've actually investigated, some other people have also.
Yeah, I mean, that's wild, dude. But, you know, there's so many places, you know. And,
yeah.
You know, some of us seem to be more susceptible or more open to certain frequencies, I guess you could say. You know.
Right.
And some of us pick up on things more than others. I guess that's why, you know, you could have a room with 50 people in it and the ghost could walk right through the center of the room and not everyone would see it.
Uh-huh.
You know, or maybe whatever's there just thinks you're a really cute dude and is really trying hard to talk to you, you know.
Yeah.
You know, but
well, thinking about it, I think pretty much all the places I've lived at have had some kind of haunting. I lived in an apartment in Encino that did. The place I live out in Northridge, I mean, I think I spoke about that a little bit. That definitely does. Well, when I lived in Yosemite, I mean, Yosemite is a beautiful, beautiful place.
Yeah, I worked up there for a summer.
Okay, so you know what I'm talking about. It has, like, that creepy vibe.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it does. I hated walking through that place late at night by myself.
Very,
you know, and it wasn't
creepy.
Bears. I wasn't worried about bears. It wasn't a bear I was worried about.
No, you
there was just this.
Yes, I mean,
yes, it's a menacing vibe.
Yeah, I don't know if it's, you know, because it's you know, surrounded. It's a valley surrounded by mountains that used to be, you know, all Native American, or you know, from the deaths of the people hiking or rock climbing that fell off the mountains. But if you're a sensitive or empath, you could definitely feel an extremely strong energy at Yosemite. And then also, Juan's Hotel was used as a World War II hospital.
Right. Now, there's definitely, that's another place to give you the willies. You know, did me.
I think all the places I've lived at, except maybe basic training at Lackland Air Force Base, had some kind of haunting.
A place I really love is Virginia City.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'd love to go to the gold field. You know, I'd like to check that place out, you know. But, I've been to the old cemetery there in Virginia City, and that place is just unbelievable, you know. It's pretty cool. There's you know, all your old West towns are full of, you know, I've been through Tombstone, but I've never got a chance to do any investigating there. I'd like to do that, you know, places like that I'd love to go to. And hopefully someday before I shuffle off this mortal coil, I'll get to go, you know. But it's about that time, dude. I've stayed a little bit longer, but I've been battling some kind of illness, what my father used to call the creeping crud or the green weenie. And no, I don't mean an STD. I've just caught some kind of bug. I've got a lot of chest congestion, and I just basically feel oogie. You know?
Yeah, I'm trying to fight something myself.
Yeah, it's no fun, is it, bro?
No, take have some ginger and lemon and honey. And then before you go to bed, have some water with apple cider vinegar and red chili powder. It'll burn fat and boost.
Yeah, I know, but Kevin, don't do apple cider vinegar, bro. I'd rather be sick. Now my fiance, she's into a lot of herbal things and, you know, and healing things naturally. And she gave me some colloidal silver, which I've used for other symptoms, and it's actually helped. So I think she's
skin will turn purple.
Well, I think she's a witch. You know, so I'm being really nice to her because, you know, well, I don't want her to put a hex on me.
There was a guy that took too much colloidal silver and his skin turned purple.
I saw him on TV, yeah. Did I talk about freaky looking?
Yeah, it looks like Grimace.
Yeah, I don't think he's getting laid anymore. But, yeah, I definitely want to have you on again, man, from time to time, you know. You're a great guest, man. I love talking with you, and I already know for a fact the listeners have enjoyed the hell out of hearing you. So, and hey, man, thank you again for pulling my keister out of the fire on tonight, because otherwise people have been listening to me for over an hour, just me. And, well, we shouldn't even want to wish that upon anyone. But thanks again, brother. Thanks again. I'll be talking to you real soon, man.
All right. Thanks, man. All right.
All right. You be safe, dude.
All right. You too. Bye.
And as I said, I feel like cock-a-doody, so I'm going to call it a night, my friends. I want to thank you all again for tuning in. I hope you will continue to do so. I, on my side, will definitely continue to do the best I can to bring you an entertaining and informative show at all times, you know, and with really good, interesting, solid guests, of which Eric is definitely one of them. So, again, thank you for tuning in. We'll see you all again on Monday. Don't know who I'm going to have on Monday yet, but I'm sure it's going to be somebody just spiffy fantastic, and you'll just go to sleep at night in your little teenage bedrooms and dream lovely dreams. So until next Monday, you guys be good. Be good to each other. Stay safe. Don't do anything really stupid, okay? And good night, boys and girls. Catch you on the flip side.